You're listening to The Source. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Slow the Flow educates the public about better water usage. This next story is about educating the public by using water, and a lot of it. 550,000 gallons to be exact. That's how much water is contained at the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium in Draper. We sent Source producer Ryan Cunningham to the aquarium to find out how and why Living Planet has brought sharks to the second driest state in the nation.
I'm here at the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium in Draper, Utah. The facility, which just opened in March last year, is packed with young families and literally busloads of school children. As you can probably tell from the background noise, a lot of kids are pretty excited to be here. I'm here today to talk to Susie Broadbent, who's the Director of Marketing and Sales at the Living Planet. She's going to tell me about how the aquarium got started and how things work around here. But first she wants to show me around. The first exhibition she takes me to is the penguin enclosure, where two baby Gentoo penguins have recently hatched. She explains to me the penguins' rather peculiar and frankly adorable mating rituals.
You know, mating season is once a year, and so they put in these stones in there, our husbandry team, and that's part of the courtship process. So you can see this penguin right here. He'll carry that stone over to its mate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the beginning of the courtship, the female will either accept it or not. And then the male will have to go back and get it. But when they accept it, they start building a nest. And so they continue to bring, you can see how many pebbles are around each nest. And then that's kind of like their nest where they'll lay an egg and, you know, take care of their baby.
So the males try to win the females over by presenting the biggest, shiniest rock.
Yeah. Does it sound familiar?
It does sound familiar, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
The Gentoo penguins are one of the most popular attractions at the aquarium, but there are hundreds of other species that reside here. The building is divided into four main sections. Antarctic Adventure, where the penguins hang out. Ocean Explorer, which is home to deep sea creatures like sharks and stingrays. Journey to South America, which is designed to resemble a section of the Amazon rainforest. And Discover Utah, featuring wildlife from all over the state.
So here you can see how we just take you through southern Utah, through each of the major waterways. So these would be fish in an exhibit that you would find at Lake Powell as you continue on. Mm-hmm. This would be our Green River, and then Flaming Gorge Tank.
The entire room kind of transitions from Red Rock to...
You start going northern Utah now, uh-huh. Which ends up with one of the favorites, which is the otters. So let's go check these guys out.
Unfortunately for us, the river otters are hiding in back as aquarium employees prepare their lunch. Susie explains to me why otters aren't allowed to mingle with the aquarium employees.
Interestingly enough, as cute as the otters are, our trainers are never in the exhibit with them. So when they come out to place food, they pull the otters off exhibit so they can put the food out. Then when they're off, they'll release the otters, you know?
Yeah.
Because even though they're cute, they are pretty aggressive. Mm. And so that's why when they have to like hose out or clean up in here, you won't see the otters on exhibit, but they'll be right back.
Trained river otters, penguin courtship rituals, it's fascinating stuff. And really, we've only scratched the surface so far. But what's almost just as fascinating is the aquarium's own sort of rags to riches tale. When Susie and I find a quieter place to sit down and chat, the first thing I ask her about is the Living Planet's humble beginnings. The Draper facility now that you're in is big and beautiful. It's a wonderful aquarium. But you guys started in a van, didn't you?
Yeah. So I think it's a great story of entrepreneurship and what's possible if, you know, a child or somebody has a dream, and although there's not something available, they can make it happen. So our founder, Brent Anderson, as a child, it sparked his interest, this marine biology and scuba diving. And the more he looked, there just was no resources for him to really learn about that. And so when he went to college, he went out to Santa Barbara and got his marine biology degree and decided to bring that information back to Utah and see if there were other interested people like him that shared this interest. And so, yeah, he did start out in a van going to junior highs with invertebrates and things that he could bring for hands-on, and kids would stay after and get to learn about this. And over time, it just has shown that the interest is certainly there and students want to learn about this.
This was back in 1998 when he started the van, right?
Uh-huh.
What kind of animals was he able to bring onto the van?
I think things that were more easily transportable, probably like invertebrates, which are like sea stars and urchins. Although I did hear rumors about like moon jellies and some eels and stuff, so I think he got creative.
Okay, so then I want to say it was 2004 that the aquarium moved from a van to a spot in the Gateway Mall.
Yeah, so there continued to be this interest, so I think Brent decided to, okay, let's experiment and open up a temporary, like, showcase aquarium. It was only 10,000 square feet. The admission was really inexpensive, and just to see if there was an interest, and it was just like one little hall that looped around, and quickly there generated a line around the corner, and it was clear, okay, there's more of a demand. And so shortly after that, we moved from there to Sandy, which was a 46,000 square foot facility, and we're able to open different halls, and it was there that we were able to bring in otters, which was a big deal, and then our penguins, which was another huge deal for us.
Was that an existing building, or was that built for the aquarium?
That was an existing building. People that have been around long enough know that it was like a grocery store.
Really?
Before we went in there. So we went in there and leased the building and built it out the best that we could, and I think it was great. But then when you come here and see this beautiful facility, it's like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah, so tell me about... You had all these animals in this grocery store, what used to be a grocery store in Sandy, and then you had to move them here to this new facility in Draper. That sounds really hard. How did you do that?
You know, absolutely a thought out and challenging process, if you can imagine all the dynamics, because not only were we moving animals, but we were bringing new animals in to be able to accommodate this facility. And there's a quarantine process that they have to go through when we get these new animals. Same with the tanks here. They have to cycle, and it takes time for the water to be at the right levels that are unique based on the marine life that is going in that tank. So there were a lot of variables involved. We had an offsite warehouse where we had some of the fish. We had a huge shark tank over there as we brought in sharks. So it took a lot of work.
And the design of the building is actually pretty interesting. The person who designed it was an employee of the aquarium. Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, sure. Brent draws everything out, and he certainly is a visionary like you would want an entrepreneur to be. So he had the site, but was able to collaborate with Ari Robinson, our art manager, who, interestingly enough, he was one of the kids that would stay after school and hang out to, you know, when the aqua van was at his school. So, you know, that he's somebody that definitely loved that marine science aspect. And so, yeah, together it's been amazing what, you know, Brent can think up, and then Ari can draw out, and then they can come together and have this built out, because I do think it is such a unique and beautiful space.
How big is the facility here in Draper?
So this facility here is 136,000 square feet compared to the 46,000 square feet what we had over in Sandy. And we have about 550,000 gallons of water here, 300,000 of which is the shark tank.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of water to manage. Since this is a show about water, I was going to ask you how you do that. How do you keep the tanks clean? How do you make sure that the temperature and the saltiness of the water is just right? How do you do that?
It's a great question, because there is actually a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into creating a safe and clean environment for species from all over the world in all these different ecosystems, and temperatures and pH levels and salt water and fresh water. So our husbandry team basically does a check every single day on temperature and just spot checks. At least once a week, they're taking at least 15% of that water cleaning it, filtering it, scrubbing it, and then they're able to reuse that water. So that was really important to our team on that. The Shark Tank, same thing. We have two stories of filtration systems. So a large amount of that water can be reused.
So do you take in a lot of water, or is it mostly just recycled water that you use?
We do our best to reuse as much water as possible. And I don't know the amount of how much comes in. I just know that they made a lot of custom changes to create a pretty innovative water reclamation or reuse program here.
It has to be pretty energy intensive, too, to keep all that running and maintained. I think I heard you say just before the interview that there's solar panels on the
roof. Yeah, so we obviously are, as an educational facility, one of our messages is conservation, and we want to educate people on minimizing that footprint on our earth as much as anybody. And so we have tried to utilize everything. You'll notice in the aquarium, it's all LED lights. And so those take much less energy than a regular bulb. More expensive, but you know, in the long run, it's better for the environment. We have solar panels on our roof, like phase one, and we do have an interactive display. So kids can come on a sunny day and see how much energy is being saved based on the sun that the solar panels are receiving. So that's a fun learning experience for them as well.
You know, I tend to forget when I come here because I'm so overwhelmed by how cool it is to see sharks and penguins and otters and everything else you have here. But it is an educational facility. You are trying to teach kids in particular about ecosystems and habitats. What are some of the ways that you do that?
So, yes, first and foremost, we are an educational facility. Within the aquarium, as our visitors and guests come through, you know, we have signage, we have educators at all the tanks. You'll see, but we've got all these different ecosystems or exhibit halls that have their own immersive experience that we've tried to create the best that we can. So when our guests go in, they kind of get an idea, this is what it would be like in the Amazon, or this is what it would be like in southern Utah. And so we want to educate there, because the whole idea of the living planet is to showcase diverse ecosystems from around the world and show how they're all really dependent on each other, even though they're different, to create the living planet. In addition to the experiences that our guests have coming here, we have a really aggressive and growing education department. Last year, we were able to reach over 100,000 students in the year, which was a huge milestone for us. And that's through our outreach program, which now we've got lots of vans that go out and visit the students, and also through our field trip programs where classes can come on site and do a field trip with our educators or with their teacher throughout the aquarium.
Yeah, I saw a few school buses out there today, actually.
Every day.
You did mention that there's a Utah exhibit within the aquarium. I wanted to ask you why that was important to include Utah in the aquarium.
For sure. A couple of reasons. One, this is what you have right here in your backyard. I think a lot of people don't even realize all the life that's out there, and our Utah Hall goes from southern Utah up to northern Utah, and for example, our river otters, a lot of people don't realize, are actually native to Utah, you can see them. Also, we have, since we've got our new building, we have seen so many tourists come through that are visiting Salt Lake, and now they're coming to the aquarium. So I love that there's a Utah Hall, because then they can learn a little bit about the state while they're here, in addition to seeing, you know, the other areas of the aquarium.
So this is the big question. Why is it so important to have an aquarium in Utah, which is, it's a landlocked state.
Sure.
It's very dry. It doesn't seem like the most natural place to have an aquarium. So why put an aquarium in Utah?
I think your question answers the questions, right? I think without an aquarium here, there's a large percentage of kids and adults that never leave the state. So if you think about it, a lot of locals will never have the opportunity to see the ocean, right? So you put this beautiful aquarium in a landlocked state, and what an amazing opportunity to come and see a shark swim over your head if maybe you never have that opportunity to go scuba diving, right? Let alone just see the ocean shore. So I think that's been a lot of the success because it's a unique experience that people can't get anywhere else close by.
Just from a personal perspective, what brings you to the aquarium? What do you like about it?
Wow, you know, I think most people here, including myself, just love the animals. You know, it's great. Of course, we want to, you know, run and make sure like operations and everything is smooth. But I won't lie, it is a perk of working here that when you would like to go sit in front of the shark tank and just view that awesomeness or go see the penguins, that is a perk that I can't get anywhere else at a job. So it's pretty fun. Every day when we walk through, we try and ask questions and learn a little bit more. My best compliment on a tour that I was giving is they asked if I was a marine biologist. And I thought, hey, I've learned some stuff then.
Did you play along or did you?
No, but I was like, thank you. What a compliment. I'm not. And they were like, well, you're very knowledgeable and thank you for the information. And I just thought, this is pretty cool. I'm learning about ecosystems. I feel like I'm learning something that's valuable for our purpose here on Earth. And, you know, we often talk about here that we want to celebrate all life on Earth. So plants, animals, marine life. And so that's a pretty great message to get behind and have as a career.
Again, that was Susie Broadbent, the Director of Marketing and Sales at the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium. That message, that all life is worth celebrating and protecting, is what induces that too often elusive sense of wonder the Loveland Living Planet Aquarium strives to foster. I mean, sure, watching fearsome sharks swim right overhead does manage to stir a lot of oohs and ahs, but at the end of the day, after the minivans and school buses have departed and the kids are back at home, I like to believe that those junior Jacques Cousteaus aren't thinking about how scary the sharks are, but instead they're thinking about how special they are, and what a gift it is to share a planet with them. For The Source, I'm Ryan Cunningham.